This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hszc.org.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Cold this morning. We don't have much heat in this room, I'm sorry, so it's a little uncomfortable. There's a sense in which there is no end to the cold. So, even though it's our human way, when we're cold, to see if we can find some heat, it's important also to realize that there's no end to the cold. Quiet enough, we have a sense of what that means. Another human tendency, of course, is to reach for something reasonable. It stirs up the mind so that sometimes the heart can't let its natural senses operate. So then if we hear, oh, there's no end to the cold, we might think that's just propaganda. Body-mind, and, or another way to say it, our karma is such that we're always looking for some middle place where, you know, it's neither too hot nor too cold. We're not too hungry or too full, and so on. Therefore, when there are circumstances when we can't arrange for that, we can get kind of agitated. Here, at least, we have some options. But around our neighborhood, we see quite a few people who don't seem to have many options. This morning it was barely 40 degrees out, and, both this morning and yesterday morning there was someone out in the street yelling and carrying on, apparently by himself. Those people may have just been looking for some way out of the cold, some shelter. The so it wouldn't be appropriate to suggest to those folks that they see if they can understand what it means that there's no end to the cold. But we have that option because of our circumstances. But that could change, of course. The currents of our lives can carry us suddenly in all kinds of different directions with no warning. So while we have some options, it's good to study the Buddha way. So that maybe if a time arises when we don't have options anymore, our study of the Buddha way can extend into those circumstances too. A story the other day involving two students of Dharma, one named Shin and the other named Myo. And they were down by some river or other, and they were watching the fishermen. And the fishermen were hauling in a large net. It was full of fish, and some of the fish were escaping. So Shin says, "Oh, look. Fish escaping, they're like Buddhist adepts. Isn't that great?" And then Myo says, "Yeah, that's pretty great, but it'd be even greater if there weren't any net." And Shin says, "Oh, Brother Myo, you don't quite see yet, do you?" Brother Myo's nose was slightly out of joint. He went back home, and late that night he understood. He understood that the life of sentient beings and Buddhas is net, is brambles and dense underbrush. That is exactly where sentient beings and Buddhas meet. And to long for or expect a time of no net is mistaken practice. So this isn't maybe so easy to see, especially since our karma is, one of looking for the ideal circumstance all the time. And sometimes people are drawn to Buddha Dharma because it seems as though what is offered is some place where there's no net. And if people diligently do something or other, they'll find this place. Well, maybe there is such a place, but if there is, it's within samsara. As you may know, it's possible to practice yoga in such a way that the external world vanishes. And basically you're in a place where there's nothing happening. But that place is completely dependent upon causes and conditions, and once they shift, well, you're back again. So the Buddhas came to teach about a place where there is a net, namely our life. And where an adept, you might say, escapes from the net, the adept escapes from the net over and over and over again. So what feels like the place of the net, where we're kind of constrained, is the place of liberation, and there isn't any other. The story says Myo went home and went to bed, and in the dead of night understood. In these stories, nighttime or midnight is often a metaphor for when the reaching mind has relaxed. And the karma of constant escape has quieted. And the place of cold is seen to be a place of cold is everywhere. Suzukiro Shiyuno had this saying, if you're outside and it starts to rain, don't run because it's raining everywhere. It's the same. So maybe we'll have some more rain this winter, and if you're out in the rain, see if you can even for a moment appreciate rain everywhere. The whole world is rain. means just let the mind rest, let the body rest. Let the heart know what it knows. And in that midnight, you may find some appreciation. And that will be a great gift and will help you in your life. This morning at breakfast, David was recalling a question-answer time after a Dharma talk when someone complained, "Oh, Zazen isn't working for me anymore." I wasn't there at the time, but I had the thought, oh, now that person at last can practice. Up to that point, the person who was complaining thought that Zazen was doing something for them, and that they knew what that was. And then when that sense of things shifted, as it inevitably would, the person felt like they'd lost something. I would have applauded and said, "Congratulations, now your practice can really grow." You must have thought you were escaping from a net. And now you don't have to think that anymore. You can be still, right where you are, and appreciate the fish escaping from the net over and over again. Commentator on the story of Shin and Myo said, you know, a deer walking in the woods always leaves tracks. That's how the world is. Someone who falls down on the ground gets up from the ground. This is the world of nets and fish, of cold everywhere, rain everywhere. It's a little difficult, I know. So we get together and practice together. Makes it a little easier, actually. Personally, I don't mind the cold so much. I really don't like heat. So when it gets hot, I have to practice vigorously with hot everywhere. It's harder for me. And so next Wednesday evening, we start our annual retreat. And you're all welcome to participate. We can't feed you unless you sign up ahead of time, though. But we'll post a schedule on the doors, and you can join in any period of sitting or chanting service, or come to the talks if you want. And we only can manage this once a year. And I had a fantasy that maybe each year we'd add a day, but so far that hasn't happened. So we start Wednesday night and finish Sunday noon. But please do join in if you wish. Place of cold everywhere is also the place of no hot, no cold. This is the fish jumping free over and over again. And everyone here has the capacity to see, understand, and appreciate these marvels. Do you have any questions? Yes.
Where the these jumping fish escaping to?
Well, that's just it, isn't it? There isn't somewhere else. So Dogen says, you know, if you're a fish, water is everywhere. Fish don't swim around thinking, man, I wish there was some place that wasn't water. I don't think so. Birds fly in the air, and no matter how far they fly, there's no end to the air.
When you were talking about nets, I was thinking that these various forms that we do, like eating morioki or bowing or whatever, are like nets that we weave for ourselves. And zazen is like the most constricting, most tightly woven of all the nets, in my experience. And but that you can sometimes just appreciate being in the net, mm-hmm. and that maybe escaping the net is not so different from just being in the net completely. Mm-hmm. That's what was running through my mind when you were talking.
Yeah, well, you know, body-mind is really nothing but net. And realize that as home is jumping free. Still, Dogen does say that's what Buddha Dharma is. Buddha Dharma is all about leaping free. And then, as you know, he caps that off by saying, still, flowers fall in our attachment, and weeds spring up with our aversion. In other words, net. That's how it works. Yes.
Yes, one more. And it's just a kind of track down the teaching I've actually been trying to track down for a long time. I have an old interview with the Dalai Lama, and they asked, the interviewer asked, like, one of his favorite teachings or something like that, and he starts to say it, but then they clip it, and so it's like him saying the beginning and then the end and nothing else, and it's just this something like, may I be like a wounded animal, basically, like, nowhere to go and, you know, place to be, just to practice.
Oh. Why? I'm sorry, I was a little distracted whatever was going on back there. So
they came to join us, but
I guess they changed their minds.
Yeah.
We got the times wrong.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So
I'm just trying to track down this teaching he's referring to, because in the interview that I have a recording. I think I have it on VHS. It's even older than that, but this interviewer, who's a photographer who doesn't know anything about Buddhism, goes to visit the Dalai Lama and shows him all his beautiful photographs, which are mostly war-torn countries, and of course, you know, almost like guns and great problems and stuff. But anyway, he asks him something about one of his favorite teachings, and they clip it for time's sake, and he starts saying it's like maybe like a wounded animal with nowhere kind of to go. And just, but I don't, do you know where that? I don't know if it's a Tibetan-specific thing or...
Well, it sounds like a sutra-based teaching, but goodness knows what sutra. Mm-hmm. You know?
I should have tracked it down because it cut it. It's like I'm saying the front and the end, and then there's all the middle. I've been talking about it, but it's cut out.
You might try one of these websites now where you can search the Pali Canon.
Mm-hmm.
You could search for a wounded animal and see what comes up. Wounded animal, that sounds like our life, kind of. You know, we're all wounded animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some wounded animals who are, it's a little hard to describe, but maybe quite at home in their suffering. It's not so easy. But sometimes in retreat, you can check that out. And then, of course, sometimes if you encounter a wounded animal, you can help. There's that too. Well, there's nothing else. I think we have some hot tea upstairs. Monday is the last Monday of the month, so there won't be any morning sitting. So it'll probably still be cold, so don't show up and find the door locked. Well, the door's locked anyway, but there won't be anybody in here. So. Anyway, thank you all for being in the net together.